almost hit like five cars on the way up here.
Okay.
And, you know, usually I always, you know, fashion myself as a safe driver. You know, no texting and driving, none of that stuff. And I was like, you know what? Nothing is worth the safety of yourself and others until it hits to the World Cup. And so okay. I'm one of those guys who I just get World Cup fever like nobody else, okay? And so I'm in my car, and I'm like, okay, well, I leave. You know, it's just getting started in the second half. And I'm like, all right, well, let me at least go check out this game. And I was like, ooh, I can listen to it on the radio.
Sure.
I don't know where to find it. No clue where to find a game. Maybe somebody else, somebody out there knows it. So I get this bright idea, and I say, you know what? If I bring up the game on my phone, I can listen to it.
This is a terrible idea. You're trying to kill people?
Excuse me. Brilliance during World Cup time doesn't mean anything else, okay? That's brilliance to me.
A total societal breakdown of all social norms and safety for and courtesy for your fellow man. It's the World Cup. It's soccer. We're going to start watching TV on our phone or whatever on our phones during in traffic.
Yeah. But it gets even better. So then I realize in the midst of this that I cannot actually watch the game or listen to the game in English. For some weird reason, my Xfinity, it doesn't allow me to do so with my app, okay? So I have to actually listen to it in Spanish.
Okay.
I have no idea what they're saying. I took 3 years of Spanish when I was in high school, took 1 year of college, still have no clue other than hola, what's going on, okay? So I just figure if I hear goal really loud, I'll be okay.
Sure.
But man, listening to games in Spanish? Bro, they make everything. It's like hockey announcers
it's
times
fire.
20. Oh,
it's
my
fire.
God.
Oh, yeah,
it's
yeah.
amazing.
Yeah,
it's yeah. It is terrible when you're driving down
the
highway.
Have you ever listened to an NFL game in Spanish?
No, never.
I once came across the Spanish language broadcast of an NFL game,
yeah.
And it was by far, it was like Panthers and Texans or something one day, and it was just a terrible game, but I could have sat there and watched all four quarters and been glued to
Dude,
it. So I get it.
Yeah, so imagine me down on the road doing 80 on a highway. Probably shouldn't have announced
that. That's not 80.
It's all right. I might have been going faster.
It's like, it's what it is.
Yeah. It's all right. Stay after Thanksgiving. You're fine. You
like
pass.
Every 5 seconds, you know, like the announcer gets like louder and louder and
right.
going. So I'm like, looking down at the phone. I tell you what. If he would have said goal, it would have been bumper cars on I-25. Just to be very honest with you, man.
Right,
oh, I would have been in every lane possible, swerving and everything.
I'm uncomfortable with this conversation. Like, I feel guilty by association.
This
like,
is a man of the law. You better watch
the
him
The views
out.
Expressed by
yeah.
Justin Adams
yeah.
are his.
Do not reflect the courts of Colorado.
Yeah. All right, so we got a couple CU guys in here, Matt Smith and Justin Adams.
Yeah.
Everybody's... I don't want to say everybody's excited, but there was at least something intriguing about Mr. Tiger's report about they've made an offer to Coach Prime. I don't know if he's already accepted the offer with USF or not. What do you guys say about this, if it's still a possibility, this potential for Coach Prime time to come to Boulder?
Justin, you take this one.
Yeah, you remember when I just mentioned that me would have been playing bumper cars on the highway?
Yes.
Yeah.
Look. Look,
right,
if you announce Coach Prime, Deion Sanders comes to see you, mm-hmm. comes to Boulder, comes to that place, the Republic of Boulder. Oh, my goodness. What that would do immediately to recruiting.
What are you doing right now?
Dude, it would put CU right back on the map.
What are you doing right now?
It would put him right back on the map.
Of course it would.
I mean,
that's instant relevancy.
Yes.
But is he going to bring NIL money with him?
That's the question. And is he going to bring the money for his contract with him? That's
right.
Like they offered him the deal, right? That was the report. The report was by Adam Munster Tiger, Buff Stampede. By the way, great guy.
Wonderful.
Tried to get him on today, but he said family was first. I said, so he big-timed me today. But it's okay.
Man.
It's all right. We're going to have his partner in crime, Brian Howell, the Boulder Daily Camera, on a little bit later to talk about the latest and greatest in this. But here's what I'm going to say, Dan, is that if they offered him a contract that would make him one of the most lucrative coaches in the Pac-12, what does that really mean? The Pac-12 doesn't have these massive contracts.
But here's the thing, though.
Okay.
Are we talking about the Pac-12 in 2 years, or are we talking about the Pac-12 where it stands
exactly.
right now?
Exactly.
Because if it's where it stands right now, then that could be a good-looking contract when you talk about USC.
But I think the other thing you have to consider is why is... Among all of these other openings, there are Nebraska, right? There's tons of open jobs
well,
right
Nebraska.
Now.
It was Nebraska.
What do you mean?
Apparently, you know, Bleacher Report just said that Matt Rhule is going to be.
Is that, oh, when did that come out?
Just a couple like, moments ago.
Yeah, oh, wow. Just a couple. Really?
Yeah. Again, me not checking my cell phone. I am a very.
Wow.
I was saying, how did you know that? You were in the car, Justin.
That's fascinating.
Surfing the web?
Oh, going
let
on.
Me tell you something. If Cinderella ever found a glass slipper, Matt Rhule in Nebraska, two guys, that it's a match made in heaven. I'll tell you what. And it's not because I like them or think it's a great move. It's because I actually dislike Matt Rhule and I hate Nebraska. So,
all right, last one for you on this.
Yeah.
If he literally does take USF over CU, what on earth does that say about CU?
I think it says more than anything that his connections down in that part of the country are much greater, and he'll be set up for greater success. I mean, he's a Florida guy. He's a southern part of the country guy, and that's where the recruiting base is right now. And quite frankly, I think it also says that for CU, to attract a guy like that, you're going to have to throw a ridiculous amount of money at him, and that's going to be his motivation to come take that job. I think for Prime, it just is a natural progression and transition even to take a job like a USF.
But it's a bigger program.
Like, well, is it?
Wait, but here,
CU?
I guess.
Here's the thing.
I know it is.
KKFN, KKFN, 1HD, Longmont Boulder. I did that for the first time ever.
I love it.
KKFN, KKFN, HC1, Longmont Boulder.
There you go. But go ahead. What you're saying, Justin.
Yeah. Well, the reality is that if the playoff is expanding, right, the playoff should, we imagine it
will expand. Why are we talking about playoffs?
Yeah, we're talking about CU. Here's my thing. We talk about USF and CU. The only way that it makes sense is that if the playoff expands, USF will have an opportunity to be able to get one of those 12 spots if they're able to go and run the table in the AAF or whatever the conference is, AAC, whatever conference they're in.
Explain the expansion idea, though.
So if you go to 12 teams, right, you have 4 teams right now, there's a possibility, quote, there's a possibility that'll go to 12 teams. Pretty much it'll go to 12 teams. You get more teams, more revenue, college football. It does what it does, right? So you'll be able to get some more of those group of five, some more of those non-traditional Power 5 teams that will be able to have a spot to be able to get in. So, like, for example, Cincinnati wouldn't have to go undefeated, have that sparkling record, and pretty much have every other team in the Power 5 fall off in order to get to the playoff. Now you'll be able to have one of those spots as the conference champion. That's why it will make sense.
Okay. I guess. I think it's a national title.
They should be bigger than USF. Come on.
But I think more than anything, it's a jumping off point, either one of them for Prime, because if he goes there and has success, he's not going to last more than 5 to 10 years. But the thing is, for Colorado, you are in such a bad place right now.
Yes.
Even if you know that you're only going to have a couple of weeks with the hot girl, you'll take the hot girl.
Yeah.
You'll take those few weeks.
Wait a minute. That's been their approach the entire time. They hire Hawkins and McIntyre and all these guys that you.
Well,
Tucker.
McIntyre was at San Jose State. Yeah. I mean, that's like the diamond in the rough. That's like the Gilpin County 8. You know what I mean?
I don't even know what that means, actually. I have no idea what that means, but what I'm saying is that...
No disrespect, Gilpin County.
Right.
None of these guys were like, oh, I'm going to go to CU to finish my career. None of them. CU has become the ultimate
Until you step up and have the resources that these other programs have. And the thing is you can make that a good job, but there's so much instability in the conference right now and in the country and in the sport, quite frankly, Justin, that it's hard to really project one way or another where it's going to go. So if you're Deion Sanders, you have to look at that as an opportunity to raise your brand and become more serious. I still wonder why his name is not more popular among some of these other openings. Why wasn't Nebraska chasing Deion Sanders?
Agreed.
That doesn't make sense to me. And so I think you have to look at that as well with a discerning eye and say, all right, well, what are we really getting here? Because with Deion, you're not just getting a head football coach.
Mm-hmm.
You're getting a show, right?
Yes.
You're getting Prime.
Yes.
Well, I'll leave you with this. I think you guys need to bear a little responsibility with this. You played there. You were a voice of the Buffs.
Yeah.
And you guys should have been the gatekeeper, the stewards of this program. And look what you guys have done now.
I'm just trying to be the stewards of driving safely on the road.
Apparently. I tried to, but the Buffaloes ran right over me.
All right, guys. Have a great show. What do you guys got coming up?
We're going to be talking to Mike Kliss, and like I mentioned a little bit earlier, we've got Brian Howell, the Daily Camera, coming on to give us the latest and greatest, because if there is a coaching search, we should find out within the next week and a half, I want to say.
December 5th. Rick George said December 5th.
There you go.
You have to make that move a little bit sooner, but we'll talk about it more.
Absolutely.
But I'll tell you why. It needs to happen sooner.
I will bid you adieu. Have a great show.
Thank you, Dan.
Right.
Thank you, Dan.
Take care.
Justin. happy belated Thanksgiving. How was your Thanksgiving?
It was awesome. To be able to be with the family was amazing. Had a time. Look, I just had a daughter, by the way.
Oh, so, wow. Congratulations.
Yeah, so I have a boy, 3 years old.
That's awesome.
A baby girl who's 3 months old. So I had this 3 months ago. So
okay.
July 27th. Shout out to my beautiful wife, Nikki Adams.
Wow.
Yeah, it's fantastic to be able to be a dad of two. To be a dad of three, I don't know how you do it.
Right.
Three or more, no clue. Right. But people do that for some reason. But it's a blessing, man. So I enjoyed it. Was with my family, my parents. And we just ate some food, had some fun, watched some football, told a whole lot of lies. Pretty much what we do every Saturday.
Right.
So it's fun.
I remember talking to you before you had your son and how anticipatory you were of having kids. You couldn't wait. And so I'm sure you're just over the moon right now.
It's beautiful. I mean, the reality, though, when you're a parent is that the biggest adjustment you have to make isn't really the kid, it's you.
Yeah.
Because all the free time that you have is gone.
Yeah, your life changes completely.
And you never appreciate silence until you have kids.
Right.
Well, first of all, you get married, and that's one side of the coin, right? And
all of these things you're talking about right now are a lot of things that people forget when they enter this whole process.
Yeah, because it's love, and I love you, and it's so awesome, and it's bliss. So you forget it's not always like that, man.
No.
Like, you have diapers and a kid who, for some reason, wants to go and jump in your bed at 2 in the morning.
Right.
And then says that he's hungry.
Right. And everything that comes with having a newborn and a toddler.
Literally everything that comes with it. Like, here's another thing with a three-year-old, which is always awesome. Now, he's pretty good being potty trained. He's potty trained now. He's able to, you know, sleep through the night without, you know, making accidents. But ever so often, this young man will want to jump in bed with you and everything. And then you wake up and you're like, what is this wet spot?
Oh, man. Jeez.
Welcome to being a dad.
I guess so. You just have to kind of, you know, plug your nose, close your eyes, and jump right in, right?
100%. Yeah. That's exactly how it is.
So what did you guys do for Thanksgiving?
So we went, you know, my parents' house. We actually, I did a workout with my wife in the morning. And
then,
So something that, like, a tradition we do. And then we had a breakfast together as a family. So all my siblings came by. And then we had our dinner. Now, here's the weird thing about us. And it is what it is. Breakfast was like around 10:30, 11 o'clock. So kind of a brunch type of deal.
Sure.
We didn't eat the actual Thanksgiving dinner to like 7:30.
Okay. That's too late.
My dad didn't throw. We didn't even eat turkey.
Yeah.
Like, my dad threw the turkey in at like 2. And I'm like, you should have threw it in like at 2 yesterday.
See, you got to time Thanksgiving dinner up with the second half of the last football game. So right after dinner's over, that's when it's halftime. And everybody go sit down and watch the second half.
Right.
And then grandpa can fall asleep on the couch. And it's perfect.
It's perfect. It's wonderful.
Right.
Wasn't that way.
Wasn't that way.
But it was fun nonetheless.
So you had to miss the second half of that Vikings game.
I did, man.
Yeah. I feel bad for you because that was a hell of a football game.
I saw the highlights and it's amazing. Yeah. You know what? And this is, because I want to hear about your Thanksgiving, too. But it's so upsetting. Really, was that bad?
No, it just was uneventful, as I wanted it to be.
Oh, okay. Well, at least that's the way you want it.
Yeah, exactly. Dad couldn't have said it better.
Well, it gets frustrating when you see a team like the Vikings, the way that they were last year, they were able to turn around, and now they're playing an exciting brand of football. Even New England, I mean, looking at the highlights, I mean, I don't know about that catch, by the way, for Hunter Henry. I mean,
we're going to get into that on the other side of this coming break. All right, so let's do that.
Yeah.
Let's do that. Let's throw it to break here because we're up against it, and we'll come back and we'll get into the Thanksgiving slate of games because it was the best slate of Thanksgiving games that I can recall, quite frankly.
And by the way, before we go, guys, if you're on the roads right now, don't text and drive.
Yeah.
And don't listen to Telemundo during the World Cup while you're driving as well. Not a good idea.
It's the Fan. Happy Black Friday to you out there. Join in on the RamosLaw.com text line, 303-713-1043. And here's what I'm going to request today out of the text line. Who out there did not have a good Thanksgiving and why? I want the drama of your Thanksgiving. I want the Thanksgiving dinners that didn't go well. My favorite from last year was
not today, buddy.
Yeah, no, that's exactly what I want, Joker. I want those Thanksgiving drama stories today. You know, my favorite from last year, and I'll never forget it, was someone texted in this. It was like an essay about they hosted this private dinner for 30 people, hired a private chef that was really highly recommended. Chef catered, they set everything up, and they invited Grandpa over.
Okay.
And Grandpa was a former chef and wanted to show up this hoity-toity, fancy, private catered chef.
Okay.
Cooked his own turkey, burned it, brought it, and then went around and served it alongside the private chef's turkey to everybody at dinner.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. Served it himself, went around the table to all 30 people. So that's awesome. I want to hear those Thanksgiving stories. My Thanksgiving was...
Can we have people call in?
If you have a good enough story to call in, we can screen them.
It has to be good.
Colin, it has to be worthy of
really
the air.
Good.
Yeah, it has to be worthy of the air. Yes, otherwise send them in on the text line because we have tons to get to today as we've got a monster... I was going to say a monster game ahead this weekend, but it's not a monster game ahead whatsoever. It's the Panthers and the Broncos, and it means absolutely nothing, Justin. However, it's yet another opportunity for the Denver Broncos to get on track. And I don't say get back on track for a reason,
right.
because they have never been on track.
No, unless if you talk about two touchdowns being on track, then that's exactly what this team does. That's like the maximum for this team is like two touchdowns. If you try to get three, a little bit too much for this team.
And how nice was it yesterday to watch these games where we had high-scoring affairs, teams could put up points, move the ball up and down the field, and you were entertained. That was just really nice to watch that kind of football, and we have not seen that around here in Broncos country. Yesterday, it was the Bills and the Lions in Detroit. One of the weirdest decisions was Buffalo's choice to fly back to Buffalo.
Right.
And then come back to Detroit. Why the hell did they leave?
Well, the only thing that makes sense is that they didn't pack all their belongings originally. That's the only thing that makes sense. You didn't pack everything that you needed come to on. Go back. I know. I get
you
it, right?
You don't have, like, an entire equipment staff to do your laundry?
No, I get it. And also, you could say, hey, you could just... I don't know. You kind of have money to get clothes.
Yeah, you don't think team-issued apparel is in short order over for the Bills?
Like, I'm
just
saying.
Can't send somebody down to the Nordstrom Rack?
Hey, maybe you just wanted to see your family. Maybe that's the thing. You wanted to see your wife and kids. That's the only thing. Wife, kids, and side pieces.
And
that's the only thing.
And you figured you were good enough to come back, and no matter, it was the Lions. It was the Lions.
I mean, true. By the way, the Lions should have won that game.
Absolutely should have won that game.
It's amazing to me to look at the NFL and see how many games are actually lost, not won. I mean, you have a guy wide open on a go route. Jared Goff just hit the wide receiver on the sideline, right side on the sideline, wide open. Ball game. Oh, by the way, if you don't hit him, you have somebody on a drag route right under that, wide open, hit him, keep the drive going.
I mean, we could play
that
this game.
Is correct.
We could play this game all day long. We could play this game all day long. There were so many opportunities. Make your field goal. Make a 29-yard field goal instead of dead pulling it like you're, you know, teeing off on a dog leg left.
Right.
You know?
But the reality is that Detroit showed exactly what's going on in Denver and what's been happening for the last 6.5 years.
Well, let's see why.
In this sense is that you find ways how to lose games.
That's disrespectful to the Lions compared to the Broncos.
Actually, really is disrespectful. Yeah. But, I mean, it is what it is. When you talk about the Broncos this year, I mean, finding ways how to continuously lose games. You could go down the line this year in the schedule and say, how did you lose this game? How did you lose to Seattle? How did you lose to the Raiders twice? How do you get swept by the Raiders, man?
The Lions were coming off a 3-game win streak. It was tied for the longest in the NFL, or in the NFC, rather, with the 49ers.
I'll give you that one.
I'm just saying.
I mean,
but hell would have had to frozen over for them to get that fourth straight win. I think that's the only way the Lions franchise could win four in a row.
Right.
So that was, but again, they had a great chance to win. Josh Allen is that offense, and they have designed it that way. That's how they want to play. And this guy's got a bad elbow and a torn ligament in his elbow that he's playing through right now.
Mm-hmm.
So the Buffalo Bills need to find a way to be sustainable offensively. I've seen it all year long. It looks like they're pressing. It looks like they're trying to make up for losing to Kansas City every single game this season.
Mm-hmm.
And you could see the weight of the world on Josh Allen's shoulders. And you could see, I mean, he's on the sideline. He's stressed. He doesn't look like he's having a ton of fun. It looks like it's just way, you know, it looks like the stakes are so high every week. And I just don't think that's kind of the story of Icarus. You know, the boy who flew too close to the sun there.
Yep.
Because if you're only one-dimensional, you're not going to win a Super Bowl. It just doesn't happen like that, especially not against the teams that they're going to have to go up against in the AFC.
Well, if you're and it's not only just one-dimensional in the passing game, but the running game is Josh Allen.
Right.
Like, that's the other part, too, is that every game, this guy is running the ball all the times.
How many times did he really run yesterday? He's hurt. He can't do that as much as he used to either.
When it counted, who was running the football?
That's true. Now that is a fact.
When it counted, who was running the rock? It was Josh Allen.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So, I mean, they win 28-25 in overtime in what was a very entertaining game. Yeah. And then we get to the afternoon, and I think Uncle Jerry had the refs in for an early Thanksgiving dinner because the Cowboys got a couple of flags in that game. Although CeeDee Lamb's touchdown, not a touchdown, where do you fall on that? That catch in the back of the end zone?
No, it wasn't a touchdown. I would like for it to be a touchdown, obviously, but the rules are if the heel comes down, right, you get the toe in, you got the heel back as well, then you have to count the whole foot or whatever. It's all these weird things that NFL rules has, but I don't have an issue with that not being a touchdown. The one in the evening game,
we're about to get to it.
I have a huge issue with that one.
Yeah, we're about to get there.
The takeaway that I have from that game is this. The Giants have a quarterback issue, and they have a huge, huge quarterback problem. Daniel Jones isn't it. I mean, he's not even just a guy. I mean, he's just, like, he's not it. There were several easy passes he should have had. He should have completed. There was one on fourth down that he should have got to Saquon Barkley, would have picked up a first down, maybe a little bit more.
So, hold on. And before you continue, because this is a very akin to the conversation we're going to have with Russell Wilson, here are the receivers he was thrown to. Darius Slayton, Richie James, Isaiah Hodgins, Chris Myerick, Lawrence Cager, Gary Brightwell, Tanner Hudson. Okay? We've got a couple of running backs, a tight end that they just picked up, and you got Darius Slayton, who's their normal slot receiver. That's the only guys they have healthy. So I just don't know that it's all that fair. That team's still 7-4, and the guy is a dual threat.
I get it. Don't get me wrong, but it was just the easy passes that he missed at critical times.
And that's absolutely valid.
And that's the thing. I get it, right? Not every team is going to have all the different pieces of talent out there, right? Do you think Kansas City really has, like, really, really good wide receivers? Like, really, really good wide receivers?
No,
right
of
now,
course not.
Other
that's
than
Patrick
Travis
Mahomes.
Kelce, right?
No, I understand. I understand
Patrick
your
Mahomes
point.
Does
I get your point. No, and I get your point. You're saying that the good quarterback raises the level of talent around him, which we're not seeing around here, certainly. But,
definitely.
But I look, they're 7-4, and it's not an accident. They're playing really hard. Mm-hmm. And Daniel Jones, most weeks, that Cowboys defense is legit. Micah Parsons is the defensive player of the year, right? I mean, he just registered his 12th sack of the year. He becomes the third player in NFL history to begin his career with two consecutive seasons of 12 sacks alongside Aldon Smith and Reggie White. And then you talk about Trayvon Diggs in the back end, and they've got some pieces. So that was also Dallas's. You know, Dak, especially Dak's 10th win, 10th straight win over the Cowboys. So, or 10th straight win over the Giants, I should say.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there is a little bit of a history there.
But it goes back again to, look, this team has been bad. They've been bad for a while, right? The Giants were bad for a little bit, and then they finally were able to turn it around with Brian Daboll as their head coach. But it just, again, comes down to games like this, right? You're going to be in the playoffs, right? The Giants, for the most part, they should be in the playoffs. If you're going to win, you have to make those throws.
The NFC East is a dogfight. I don't know if they're going to be in the playoffs.
Well, they could get passed up by the Commanders, right? Like it's the Gibby throws that you have to be able to make, and he had several, and he didn't make them.
It's true. In the evening game, it was Minnesota hosting New England, and Minnesota, of course, coming off that 40-3 shellacking by the Cowboys last week. On a short week, the Vikings bounced back, but the Patriots gave them all that they can handle. That was probably Mac Jones' best game as a pro.
Yeah,
that was a sterling performance. He had them right in the fight all the way up until the fourth quarter, which was really impressive to see. It was a 26-26 game, and the Patriots, and I'm going to say this, the New England Patriots got screwed by the officials, and that is not something that you can normally say about the New England Patriots, but it happened twice. There was a blatant missed hold on that kick return for touchdown
on
Kyle Duggar that blew the edge. That play should have never counted, and that was what gave Minnesota the lead eventually. Or no, that was what tied the game,
That's what
right?
tied the game up, and that actually turned around the momentum, too.
Completely.
That could change everything.
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 Everything. So there was the missed hold, and then, of course, the Hunter Henry touch, the Hunter Henry non-touchdown, where they said that his hand was not under the football, and he did not secure the catch across the goal line. And if you go back and watch 50 million replays, you find me where that ball hit the ground.
It's so weird because you ask the question, what is a football move?
It was ruled a touchdown on the field. That was what really took the cake,
Justin. The question that always gets me is when you say, okay, this is a football move, you have a fumble, all these other different things. Okay, so at what point does somebody actually catching a ball in midair, turning the body with the ball in clear control of the rock, extending it across the goal line, and then falling to the ground,
is that not a football
in
move?
In what universe? I don't understand.
I don't understand that. Hey, look, we're defending New England. We never defend New England.
Ever. The NFL has a problem on its hands with some of these rules, yes, for sure. They need to tighten these up a little bit because this is the type of stuff that hurts your product. We've heard in hockey a lot lately. There's been a lot of conversation amongst the hockey world of talking about offsides reviews where a player is offsides and then 30 seconds later they score, but the coaches review an offsides that happened 30 seconds ago. It didn't affect the play. Didn't have anything to do with that. In the NFL, and people are arguing in hockey in that regard, that it is making the game harder to watch.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't really agree because I'm more about getting it right. In the NFL, the system is designed to get it right. By having this many blunders and not having a clear set of rules and a clear process of review for these certain things, how is it that 20 different people at home standing 3 inches from their television can get video that distinctively shows his hand below the ball, but you back in Secaucus can't figure it out? Or wherever the hell they're reviewing it, New York somewhere.
Because of all the rules. That's the reason why. It's because of all the different rules. And at some point, you just have to figure it out, say, this is what it is, this is what we're going to call, and move on from there. Because you don't want the casual person at home trying to figure out what a catch is.
I just don't know how you get that wrong. Are you not zooming in? What's the process like? I just don't understand that. So really, I thought New England got screwed last night, and Minnesota with the 33-26 win, they advanced to 9-2. And the Vikings, by the way, you and I did the show in here on July 4th and called the Vikings winning the NFC North. We also called the Philadelphia Eagles winning the NFC East, which that's looking pretty good right now too. Thank you. Our own backs.
We also called the Denver Broncos on winning the
Toilet bowl?
Yeah, there you go.
I don't even think they won that. Tons more to get to here on The Fan. The Avalanche were supposed to play today, but was Matt Duchene up to his old tricks? We'll get into it next.
It's all go insane.
Reports were this morning that Matt Duchene was seen in the annals of Bridgestone Arena in Nashville with pipe cutters and a hammer, and he was going to town on a water main because he was oh so scared of the big bad Avs coming back to Nashville. And doling out some more justice. After the playoff sweep last year, the Avs have had the Preds' number. They beat them a little bit earlier this season as well. And the Preds have had a really, really bad start to the season. They went right away to start the year. They went over to Europe to play in an international series. And ever since they came back, they can't get right. Their almost Vezina-winning goaltender, Juuse Saros, from last season has not looked like the previous version of himself, and the Preds are reeling, and they got lucky today as a water main broke in Nashville. The Avalanche were slated to be a part of this NHL Black Friday, day after Thanksgiving, slate of games, and they were due to drop the puck with the Preds at 12 Mountain Time, right at noon, and a water main broke that apparently caused such significant issue that they had to postpone the game. The Avalanche were already in Nashville.
Mm-hmm.
They left yesterday, so they spent Thanksgiving in Nashville and now turn around today to fly home because they play Dallas here tomorrow night.
Which is a big game because Dallas leads the Central Division by 4 points over the Avs. But, dude, has
that's a hell of a Thanksgiving.
Well, has there been a franchise that's fallen faster than Nashville? I mean, there were a couple of years ago in the Stanley Cup Finals, and they were seen as one of the toughest teams in the NHL, and they just fell. I mean, don't get me wrong, get to the playoffs, that's okay, but we all knew that whoever played the Avs in the first round was going to get swept.
Well, they ran into a buzzsaw, right? They went face first into the wood chipper with the Avalanche, and Nashville can't get right despite the fact that they actually made some moves. They added Ryan McDonagh from the Lightning. We saw him in the Stanley Cup Final. Mm-hmm. They also added Nino Niederreiter. One of the best names in sports.
Niederreiter. 9 goals in a year, too.
Yeah, he's had a nice season so far for them, but they just can't get right. So the Avs and Preds are postponed. The Avs play tomorrow, and the Nuggets are in action tonight. I think that's an 8:30 tip-off with the Clippers.
Yeah,
is that right?
Yeah, 8:30 tonight. Shout-out to Vlaco Chanchar. My man, 20 points. Bruce Brown with a triple-double.
19 points.
But did you have 19 points?
He had 19 points.
Yeah, I thought he had 20.
He had 19 points. So did Chad Andrus yesterday, so it's all good. You're out of luck.
Well, I'll tell you what. The way that the Nuggets were able to win that game, and it was really surprising to me Aaron Gordon, the way that he played in the fourth quarter, like, I know, like, first-round pick, getting paid a whole lot of money, all this other different things, but you're playing that game without Michael Porter Jr., without Jamal Murray, on the second night, on a second half of a back-to-back, you lose an embarrassing game against Detroit, and you're able to come back, win that one in overtime, like, that was just impressive by the Nuggets. And then you look, you get a win over the Clippers tonight, a team that, you know, many look at and see that they would be one of those teams in the Western Conference that could win the Western Conference. You win a game like that, even though the season's early, it really helps you out overall when you look at the standings at the end of the season.
Yeah, and considering the fact that you gave up a 19-point lead in the first half, yeah, and then OKC takes a double-digit lead of their own in the second half, you battle back. Nikola Jokic is posted 30 points in the last two games. He had 39 in OKC. He had 31 in the loss to Detroit. But, man, it feels like, to me, this is a conversation we can get into maybe a little bit more in depth at a different point in time, maybe later today. But the mentality from the Denver Nuggets on a night-to-night basis, not from everybody, but they still need more every night guys. Now, I know they've been banged up, and I know they've been sick, but even some of these guys who've been banged up and sick weren't that guy in the first place. Mm-hmm. You're talking about Bones Highland. Jamal Murray was great in the bubble. There's no doubt about it. But outside of that, if you're talking about every single night, he's scraped that surface, right? He really hasn't eclipsed that barrier in his career.
Right.
And then Michael Porter Jr. is anything but. So,
right.
So I do think they have some things to work out. And tonight against the Clippers, they get lucky because there's no Paul George, no Kawhi Leonard, no Luke Kennard. And the Nuggets are actually a 3.5-point favorite tonight on NBA TV. And, of course, if you have Comcast, you can't watch that because that's blacked out. But it will be on NBA TV tonight. So there you go.
Well, but it's, again, one of those games for the Nuggets where you look and say, okay, they should win. They're favorites on the road. But L.A. is undefeated, man. Even on Thanksgiving, man. The day after Thanksgiving.
I don't know if they flew in today. I wonder if they flew in today because it's such a late game. I would, maybe not. Nah, maybe, man, they were there.
Dude, you fly from OKC, you go right to L.A.
I feel like,
I'm telling you, but they're L.A.
also,
is undefeated.
But they're also sick. How could they? There's no way. I hear you, and L.A. nightlife is normally undefeated, but they're all just under the weather. All these guys, they're just getting over COVID. I would be stunned if it was like that. Like if it was a typical, you know, Denver Thuggets, you know, we're going out and painting the town red night. That type of night, I don't think that's what we're going to see tonight from Denver. So Nuggets in action and the Avalanche as well tomorrow. And, you know, I just look at these teams and they're such a perfect model for what the Avalanche are doing because they keep rolling and they keep winning no matter what. You're missing Landeskog and you're missing Nichushkin and Byram. Gerard just came back, but you're also missing McDermott and Helm. Mm-hmm. And it's the core of this roster that's driving the bus and the toughness that they show. Actually, in the photo yesterday that the Avalanche Twitter account posted, Mikko Rantanen's nose looked fine.
Right.
And I don't know how that's possible because he took a shaft right to the schnoz the other night. Mm-hmm. And he was leaking all over the ice, but he looks fine. I mean, and came back and played in the third period.
It's hockey, right? That's what they do. They come back from different things like that in a regular season. For me, I would have been done for the rest of the year. But look, that's what they do. But how about Mikko Rantanen and the season that he's able to put together? And I know, we already know, like, how good he's been, but sometimes he gets lost behind Kel McCarr, Nathan MacKinnon, and all the rest of the guys. And you realize just how good he is. He has 12 goals this year, 13 assists. Like, this guy is on fire and really picking up the pieces for where, you know, Gabe Landeskog being out and several other different key players are out, too. You already know about Kel McCarr, what he's doing, which is ridiculous. But Nathan MacKinnon, one thing that kind of surprised me was that he only has, I think, 5 or 6 goals this year, one of the two.
Yeah.
But his assist numbers are so high. And it just shows, again, what this team is all about. A guy like Nathan MacKinnon doesn't have to fill up the stat sheet by scoring goal after goal. He can just pass it off to somebody else to be able to get things rolling. And that's just how a really good team continues to stack up wins.
This is probably the best I've seen out of MacKinnon year to year and night to night. It was the best I'd seen, the best shape I'd seen him to start the season. And I said that in our war room, preseason war room, that, hey, look, Nate's about to have a huge year and he hasn't found the back of the net as much, but it's because there's so much attention paid to him. Mm-hmm. And I think there are a couple things that he can do strategically a little bit differently. And we're starting to see more of that. He scored, I think, maybe 2 in his last 3 games, if I'm not mistaken. So, you know, again, he leads the league in assists and he's driving the bus so hard every night and playing at such a pace. It's critical. You need your horses to be horses because this year, until Gabe and until Val can get back, this is primarily a one-line team. And right now, the Avalanche are awaiting word on Evan Rodriguez, mm-hmm. who went down in a crumpled pile in the corner after getting his skate clipped, and he saw his knee wobble. And so it sounds like he may have avoided major disaster, but he's been a key piece that they brought over in the offseason. So our thoughts are with him, certainly, mm-hmm. and we're waiting to hear news.
But you know what's interesting is, as you talk about the Avalanche, don't get me wrong, like, they have a lot of talent on that team. We know that. They're the Stanley Cup champions. But they don't make any excuses. Unlike what we see at the UC Health Training Center.
Yeah. Speaking of which, let's get into that next. It's Matt Smith and Justin Adams sitting in for the guys today on The Drive. It's Denver Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan. We have some amazing submissions on the text line. We asked earlier on the RamosLaw.com text line, 303-713-1043. I don't want to hear about your good Thanksgivings. I don't want to hear about your good meals and how happy everyone was together. I want to hear about the Thanksgivings gone awry.
Yes.
That's what I want to hear. The family drama. We're going to get to it later in the show. We've already had some amazing suggestions and submissions pouring in, so we'll get to those a little bit later for sure, Justin. What did you guys have on the table yesterday for Thanksgiving?
Yeah, we were supposed to have a turkey. That would have been pretty nice. Here's the problem. When you start, you know, putting your turkey in the oven at like 3 o'clock in the afternoon, it kind of doesn't come out as fast as you would like it to. So we had chicken. Good old Costco chicken.
Oh, you did? Just like roasted chicken?
Good old roasted chicken.
Hey, man,
Costco,
that sounds good to me. I'm all about the non-traditional Thanksgiving dinner. About it. Normally, we'll do like ribs or crab legs or something. Right. Yesterday, Chad Andrus and I were filling in for Schlereth and Evans in the morning, and we asked for the non-traditional Thanksgiving meals that you were eating. We got tamales, we got lasagna, we got Italian food. In fact, Chad was doing an entire Italian-themed Thanksgiving dinner. So I think as long as you are with the people that you love and that you care about,
bingo,
whatever it is, unless you're working like us poor saps, right? You know, but I do think that it's up to you. I'm not a big Thanksgiving food guy. Never have been. You can miss me with the turkey. Did you see last night Adam Thielen on the broadcast was took a bite of the turkey leg and then spit it out because he was like, turkey's dry. Turkey's dry. And I was like, yeah, that's exactly right. Turkey's always dry. Before the break, we were talking about what some of these other teams in town can take from the Avalanche, being so shorthanded, mm-hmm. yet still bringing it on a nightly basis and being an every night guy, because the Avalanche right now are being led by McKinnon and McCarr, Rantanen and Taves, and they're driving the bus. Those are the guys that you're paying the most, and those are the guys that you expect to drive the bus every night. Problem is, for the Denver Broncos, they are so far from that mentality and so far from that reality that every single week, the guys who are supposed to do this, Russell Wilson, mm-hmm. Cortland Sutton, mm-hmm. Patrick Surtain, it's just not good enough, man. It's just not translating into wins. And quite frankly, it's been a whole lot of bad football ever since the season kicked off, and fans are sick of it.
Well, it starts with your quarterback. It starts with the guy that you're paying all this money to, right? You signed to a brand new deal.
You just mentioned it in the previous segment. Nathan McKinnon cannot score this year, right? He's struggling to put the puck in the back of the net.
Yes.
Connor McDavid's got 16 goals. McKinnon's got like 5 or 6.
Right.
Russell Wilson, but McKinnon's leading the league in assists. He's finding other ways to do it.
And that's the biggest thing. He's finding other different ways how to contribute and to help keep his team afloat. I mean, let's just call it what it is. When it gets to January, February, everybody will be back. You would hope, hopefully Evan Rodriguez will be back as well. But for the most part, you figure that everybody will be back. The Avs will be somewhere near the top of the standings, and they'll be able to move up and get the nice seating that they want. The Broncos, I get it. Everybody has injuries. I get it. There's a lot of different guys who are out, a lot of key pieces that are out. I mean, heck, you look at the injury report now, KJ Hamler, Jonathan Harris, Jerry Jeudy, and Kawan Williams, they will not play.
Is that the new injury report?
That's the new injury report.
So read that again.
KJ Hamler, he's out with a hamstring. Jonathan Harris, he's out with a knee injury. Jerry Jeudy out with an ankle. So you have two of your top wide receivers that are out. And then Kawan Williams. Kawan Williams, he's out.
Yeah.
But guess what? Other teams in this town don't make excuses.
Right.
The Denver Nuggets, heck, we could talk about what happened the last game against Oklahoma City. You have Michael Porter Jr. out. You have Jamal Murray out. You have to play like several different guys off the back end of the bench that you never even heard
of. Right? Chanchar got 35 minutes. Yeah.
And he was balling out there.
And he was ready to play.
that's the difference between these teams and the Denver Broncos right now. They're ready to play. They're ready to go. And they're not making any excuses.
Next man up, you are coming into our culture and you're playing. Even if the Nuggets struggle to do it on a night-to-night basis, mm-hmm. if they happen to be that shorthanded, like we saw last season, right?
Right.
That's why they were about they were just in the back end of that mm-hmm. Western Conference and just, you know, weren't they a game above the play-in? I think that's how they finished.
Yeah, they finished in the sixth seed. And right. Let's call it what it is. They played up against the worst possible matchup for them in the playoffs.
Sure.
Once they played against Golden State, there's nothing you could do about that. It is what it is. It was a terrible matchup from the get-go.
But for the Broncos right now, they're not having those guys step up and make those plays when it matters. And it does come down to the fact that if you're not getting those type of contributions, production, and you're not getting your horses to drive the bus every night, you know, in every single game, every Sunday, like Russell's not coming out there and being the dominant quarterback that you paid him to be, right? He's coming out there and just surviving. Now, there's many reasons for it, right? There's a really bad offensive line and there's a lack of talent. But at the same time, you don't see other elite quarterbacks in the league struggling to this degree when a starter goes down.
Well, and also play calling has a lot to do with it, too.
Oh, right? Well, I mean there's a lot in this gumbo. There's a lot in this pot here.
No reason to go with three wide receivers over and over again when you don't have an offensive line that's healthy. Like, there's absolutely no reason to do that. I mean, I would love to see this team come out, play two tight ends, protect Russ, run the football, be able to go throw the ball in the flat, at least give him an opportunity to make some plays in the passing game from there so he could be better protected. But that's not what this offense does. It is what it is. But it goes back to, again, one team in this town doesn't make excuses. Actually, two teams, to be honest. And you could talk about the others that do. And the Broncos, they continuously over and over and over again. I get it, right? You have the injuries. You have different things that happen to you. But you have lost six games this year by 6 points or less. Just think about that for a little bit.
No, I don't need to think about it. I've watched them.
But what I'm saying, though, is we've all watched it.
Right.
We've all watched this crap show. But when you say 6 points or less, that is one play. That is somebody making one play one way or the other in the span of a 60-minute game.
Sure.
That is a field goal not getting blocked. Brandon McManus had that happen three times this year, right? That's not happening against the Colts. It's not happening against the Raiders. It's not fumbling the ball. And I get it. Melvin Gordon is gone now. But still, he was in uniform. You trusted him to give him the football near the goal line, and that's what happened.
Yes, and in fairness to Russ, if you're playing against Tennessee and you allow 18 quarterback hits, right, you don't set him up to succeed either. So there are obviously many different facets. But the truth is, there are plays to be made, and they're not making them. This team can't score more than 16 points. They average 14 what point whatever. It's pathetic. Even if you've got banged up players all over, you should be able to move the ball down the field and convert more efficiently. It's just the truth. You've got enough guys out there to do that with. And they can't get it done. And they can't. And so right now for the Broncos, you're in a position where you're kind of in season purgatory because you have so many guys on the IR. You're so banged up, but you don't have any draft picks. So typically you'd say, all right, you know, it's been a rough year for us. The injury bug got us. Not the injury bug here. I mean, the Broncos have so many players on the injury list. Mm-hmm. Only the Niners and the Chargers I would even consider in the same sort of situation as the Broncos this year. But you can't suck for a better draft pick because you don't have it. So what do you do, Justin? What do you do? What's the goal here?
You try to win. I mean, that's all you can do. You hope that the 49ers start to lose. I mean, the reality is this, is that this is an opportunity because usually what you get around that 8-loss mark, like they're at 7. So once you get to that 8-loss mark, then you start to say, okay, who are the younger guys? Let's take a look at them, right? That's pretty much what you do. You're obviously not going to do that at the quarterback position, but you just say, and you have this belief in your mind, even though it may be false, is that you say you can win out the rest of the games on the rest of the calendar, right? You say if we could just win next week, we'll give ourselves a chance to stick around in this playoff. I get it, right? Playoffs is not something that should even be mentioned, but you at least say in your mind, let's go and just win this week against the Panthers and then see what happens next week against Baltimore. But the reality is this, is that you're at a point in the season where it's time to start playing the younger guys and find out what these guys do. What can a guy like, not KJ Hamler, I'm trying to think of his name.
Montrell?
Not Montrell. I'm thinking of, well, Montrell, what?
Jalen Virgil.
What can these guys
Brandon
do?
Brandon Johnson.
Yeah. Continue. Keep the names going.
Yeah.
What can these guys do as wide receivers? You start to get your roster set up for next year because the reality is, from the offensive line standpoint, you need an overhaul, but also you may need that at wide receiver too.
I think you're right. But there's also a part of me that says, hey, you know, you need to build some confidence for your core group and find a way to establish momentum heading into next year. And from an organizational perspective, I know they want to do that because they want Hackett to win enough games to force their, you know, for them to be able to hide behind saying, hey, we did enough at the end of the year with that back end uptick. We're not going to have to make any changes here. That's what they want to do. I know that's what they want to do. I mean, why would you want to cut all this money out, you know, shell all this money out to a guy that you really don't believe in, right? Unless you can somehow say, all right, let's get our hands around this thing for another year. We know what we now have in Russell. We'll move forward trying to figure out how to play with an aging quarterback and try and cater this scheme better to his talents.
That's pretty much the best thing you could do. And a guy I was thinking about, by the way, was Kendall Hinton.
Right.
Okay, you know, he's going back home.
I mean, don't we know what he can do? No disrespect.
Well,
but what's his, I mean, have we not seen his ceiling?
I don't think so. I think he may have another gear. It's not like a top gear. Look, we're not talking about a Wes Walker type of guy, right? I mean, we're just talking about a guy who could be able to give you 20 receptions in a year, 20, 25.
I think he could do that. He's got to be, what, up like 10 to 15 now. At least.
I'll check out that number for you.
Yeah, all right. Well, give us that next. It's the big story of the day next. It's The Drive. Matt Smith and Justin Adams in for the guys today. Coming up next, we're going to be talking to Brian Howell about this Deion Sanders noise. Is he coming to Colorado, actually? That's next.